25 minutes to get through 8 pages or so. So we will jump right in there, and I'll just take us to my very last verse. I like to do that. That way you know when I'm done. I'll give you my very last verse I'm going to touch on, and then when we get there, you know I'm reaching the end. Being 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, it says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. And this is our second lesson on the bloodline of Jesus. And so I told my wife, I think when this is all said and done, when I get done with all this studying, I may turn into someday being a Bible scholar. Seems like, boy, I just dig here and dig in there and digging all over the place and enjoying every minute of it. I studied so late last night, I woke up this morning, was studying again, and I woke up actually with a headache. I think I'm beyond my mental capabilities, and so my brain's saying, boy, you're hurting me, you're exercising me too much. So today I'm going to outline a little bit more my study so you understand where I'm coming from. I know we kind of touched it last week as I gave you kind of my intro into the bloodline of Jesus. And today I'm going to hopefully give us some insight into where I'm coming from and where my mind is really taking me in this study. First of all, I will be using Luke chapter 3 as my record of the bloodline. So once we get rolling, if you want to know where I'm going to go next, you want to know what's going on next, read Luke chapter 3. And it really starts in verse 23, and you will get the bloodline of Jesus and where I'm going to be studying this. This is where I'm going to... Sorry. I turned it off, and then I forget to turn it back on. Or I turn the sound off, and I forget to turn the sound back on, and then I don't hear it ring. Sorry about that. All right. So I'm going to be using Luke chapter 3 as my record of the bloodline. I will be coming, though, from the bias. Now understand, when you study the Bible, there is biases. We all come into them with biases, okay? But here's the bias that I'm coming into this with, that if God thought it good enough to list this bloodline and make record of it throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, there must have been a purpose in it. All right, that's the bias I'm coming from. God didn't just put it there by accident, okay? It being put there in multiple places and multiple records, he took much time throughout the Old Testament chronicling it, showing it, leading us to it, and then in the New Testament gave us this snapshot of the bloodline of Jesus. If he spent so much time making sure it was there, he must have a reason for it. And I'm just simple enough to look at it. If it's there, he wants me to study it. He wants me to know it. He wants me to know why it's there. And so that is really the bias in which I am taking this from. I believe there is a purpose in this, I hope to also show how the bloodline of Jesus washed a multitude of sins. I'm hoping that as I go through this, we're going to see how the blood of Jesus washed a multitude of sins and mistakes. I'm going to show us that the record before Christ was tainted, but the record after Christ was pure. Okay, the record before Christ was tainted, but the record after Christ was pure. In these lessons, we're going to look at each person in the bloodline and determine their traits, characteristics, their sins that will all add up to a messed up humanity. How many knows we have messed up humanity? Okay? And as we look at this, it's going to hopefully all make sense. And you'll wonder why the world's in the shape it is. You don't have far to look than past the end of my nose. And as I said before, we will look at it through a natural, a spiritual, and historical perspective. So, this is another question that I'm going to answer. Was the Pharisees' accusation against Jesus real, or was it false when they said in John 8:48, "Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil." We're going to look at that. I'm not going to answer that now. We're going to look at that later. So you don't know when I'm going to answer this either. So I'm just going to encourage everybody to be here, because you don't know when I'm going to answer that question. In some week, I will. It might be in week 3. It might be in week 23 or 33 or 103. I don't know how many weeks it'll go. All right. We're going to skip over. I could have read, and you can do this at home. I've already told you where it's at, but I was going to read through it, but for sake of time, you just read on your own when you get a chance, Luke 3, 23 through 38. The only thing I'm going to pick up is the very last passage, the very last verse of that. You can read all that. It just basically goes through all these names that I'd have trouble pronouncing anyway. It's better that you pronounce them and laugh at yourself than laughing at me, all right? So, we're going to go to verse 38, and I touched this a few months ago. I hit this in a small vein, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam. It's talking about Jesus, which was the son of God. Okay, so Jesus, when it goes through all these people that he was the son of, it ends up, which was the son of Enos, which was the son of Seth, which was the son of Adam, which was the son of God. Now, as I get started tonight, I need to talk to us about our heredity. Okay, we talked last week about our bloodline, about bloodline and blood and all the stuff that goes into the blood. Tonight, I want to talk to us about heredity, which also brings us to our heritage. Okay, we all have a heredity, right? We all have a heritage. We understand today that blood is the life-giving substance that flows through our body. If you want to know something about a person, just draw their blood. Take their blood. Don't poke your neighbor or nothing. I'm talking about in the hospital or something like that. It can tell you their health conditions. It can tell you their genetic makeup. The blood is the life's record of who you are, what you've done, and how healthy you are. Your blood is your life's record. That's why when you go to the doctor and you say, "I've got this wrong or I've got that wrong," he says, "Let me take your blood. Let me get a sample of your blood, because I can look at it and I can determine some things about you. I can determine heart conditions, health conditions, sugar conditions. I can tell all kinds of things simply from the blood." Because the blood has a record that is kept. Your blood can tell you where you came from, but your blood can also tell you what your future will be. They can determine by your blood how long you've got to live. Okay, they can determine your future based on your blood. If you've got issues in your blood, they can say, "You know what, you've got something." Now, can I say it this way? All the properties of life are contained in the blood. So, while I cannot find yet, I haven't been able to find it yet, that our heredity or our heritage is passed through the blood, I haven't been able to find that yet. I can say that the record of your heredity is found in the blood. The record of your DNA is in your blood. Okay? And the heritage is found in the blood. So therefore, the blood, when it came to Jesus, came with a long record of sins, mistakes, and issues. It came with a record. It came with a long record, a 4,000 year old record of things that were done, of mistakes that were made, of issues that had happened. This is why I like this verse. I every time I'm teaching somebody and I want to talk to them about baptism, I go to this passage because this is just such a powerful passage to me, and it really is so profound when it says in Colossians 2:14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. I don't know about you, but I don't remember having a physical list of ordinances against me. I don't have, I'm glad, but I don't have a long list of written out things. I'm glad my wife never kept track of that and hasn't written a whole bunch of things, about me, that I've done this and I've done that and I'm this. I'm glad she hasn't done that, because I'm sure the list could be a mile long. But while I don't have a physical list of ordinances against me, and yes, the Old Testament law is a list of ordinances that is against us, but I can tell you this, I did have a record, and that was recorded against me. It was in my blood. I was born with a record. I was born with some things that were against me, some markings that were against me, and some things against my life have been recorded, and it was in my blood. It was in my sin. But when Jesus died, something happened at that moment that changed the whole course of human history. No more would my previous bloodline matter. No more would my previous life matter. When the blood of Jesus washed me, a new record was put in me that was pure. That's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry. How many know we have a ministry? Every single one. If you've been saved, born again, washed, you have a ministry. And if every one of us should be involved in this, the ministry of reconciliation. All that means is there's still people out there who haven't been reconciled yet. They haven't found what you've got. They have not had the blood applied to their life yet. Man, I didn't know I was going to preach these. I'm just getting excited. Sorry. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. For now then we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Understand, he had no sin. Jesus had no sin. You've got to get that. I'm gonna prove something to us, hopefully, here in a moment. Jesus had no sin. I was born in sin. I was shaped in iniquity. The Bible says we are born in sin, shaped in iniquity. But Jesus Christ knew no sin. He didn't know sin like we know sin. Yes, he was born of a woman, but he did not know sin like we know sin. The Bible tells us that. So, what is heredity? Heredity is the natural process by which physical and mental qualities are passed from a parent to a child. Now, the sum of the characteristics, and this is all definition, and potentialities genetically derived, I mean, you got this already, right? From one's ancestors, all right? It's the transmission of such qualities from ancestor to descendant through genes. The transmission of traits from parents to offspring through genes, the functional units of hereditable material that are found within all living cells. So what is it? What we are is passed to us from our parents. We have genes. There are cells. There are things that we receive from our parents that make us who we are. Now, I'm not going to get into right now the environment and how that, you know, how that affects us as well. I'm talking about your initial things that are placed in you from your parents. Each member of the parental generation, listen, transmits only half its genes to the offspring. So my kids, thank goodness, only got half of my genes. All right? They got the better half from the better half. All right, they got the rough stuff from me. They got the good stuff from my wife. And together, we made a wonderful children. Thank you. At least somebody thinks we made wonderful children. Thank you, Michael. At least I have somebody in my corner. I'm just going to preach them. No, I'm just kidding. Each member transmit half the genes to the offspring. Different offspring of the same parents receive different combinations of genes. Many of the characteristics also are influenced by more than one gene. So I transmit half, my wife transmits half, but some of these genes are affected by other genes, and many genes exist in numerous variations throughout a population. So they're in multiple ways, and each one affects the other differently. That's how you and I can be born, and nobody's the same. It is almost mathematical. It is, I'm pretty sure, mathematically impossible for two people to be the same. I agree with that because my wife, I just seen her walk out that door there. I agree, honey. Kids got all their awesomeness from their mama. I would have agreed with that anyway. Because somebody in here would have went and told her. No, I'm just kidding. But because of this vast potential of variations, there is an infinite number of ways a child. That's why I was able to have four boys. And while they all have some similarities, they are all very different. I'm not sure what genes my last one got. I love that boy. He's at that cute age, and I got to beat it out of him. Each one of them is different. That's why there's no two humans alike in the world. We all have differences. But also contained in heredity is another word completely different than variation. That is like the other side of a two-sided coin. In other words, the word is called constantly. We have variation, which means we're all different, right? Every one of us are different. You all should be thankful. You're not like me. Yes. Although I've got some traits from you, I'm sure. While variation says there will be no human the same, the word constancy says there is no way in our heredity that I can produce anything other than a human being. Constancy says God placed this law that says I'm not going to produce anything else than a human being. In other words, it is absolutely impossible for me to have a pig. Although sometimes I wonder when I go up to my boys' room and I say, what in the world did you guys do here? I'll tell you, I went up there the other day, and in the closet was a opened cup of yogurt with the spoon in it that who knows how long it had been sitting there. You ain't kidding. And I found out the other day that one of them had taken up a cup of milk and made butter. And Jared thought he would try it. He tried it after it had become hardened. It was no longer a liquid, it was a solid. Some of you are laughing because you've had kids do similar things. And we can't create a pig, thank God, but sometimes. So what am I saying? Let's go back to the creation of man. The Bible tells us in Luke 3:38 that Adam was which was the son of Enos, the son of Seth, the son of Adam. Adam was the son of God. Adam was the son of God. Now, the scripture tells us this in Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, bond nor free, male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ. And if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Now, we know that God is a spirit, so therefore he has no blood. God is a spirit. So when Adam was created, something else had to be created. Blood had to be created. Now watch. And if blood was created, where did the template for blood come from? Watch. Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. So the DNA of the blood came from the lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world. Remember, the plan of God was established in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So the plan, the template for pure blood was in Jesus Christ before the world was ever created. So when God stepped down and he formed man out of the dust of the ground and he made man, he put blood in him from the DNA of the pure, spotless lamb that was created before the world began. The template came from Jesus Christ. Okay, so guess what was called the Son of God? Adam. Why? Because he was given spotless
blood. He was given pure blood, meaning its record was absolutely pure. No marks, no sins, no iniquities, no mistakes, no issues, no problems, no sickness, no disease, no impurities, no infections, just pure as God, holy as God. He was a son of God because he received the blood. The DNA was pure. Huh? Correct. Didn't take long. And watch this. The blood has absolutely no male, female, race, social status, or anything. How many of you know your blood type? Can you give me some hands? I don't remember mine. I know it was given to me. I was given blood there for a while. I knew my blood type. But here's the deal. You know your blood type. If I needed blood, it wouldn't matter if it came from a child, if it came from another race, if it came from a woman, if it came from someone as heinous as Hitler. All that would matter is one thing. What's the blood type? If the blood type matches, it doesn't matter. That's why it says that in Jesus, there's no male, there's no female, there's no Greek, there's no Roman, there's no Jew, there's no bond, there's no free, there's no difference, because we're all under one blood type. If we have the blood of Christ, that's the only blood we need. That's why the scriptures say Christ, in Christ, there is no difference. Because all that matters is that I have the blood type, the pure blood of Calvary. So I want you to understand that Adam was created originally with pure blood. Matter of fact, the Bible says both Adam and Eve were created with pure blood. They both got it. It was the created blood, the unpolluted blood, the pure as could be, completely undefiled. It was God's blood. And it wasn't until at least 4,000 years later that this blood again was once again spotless blood of God. It wasn't until, we know it didn't take long, Adam and Eve sinned and blood was no longer pure. The blood was no longer there. No longer were they considered sons, were able to be pure sons of God, because they did not have the pure blood of God. And the longer it went, the more defiled, the more polluted, the more messed up the blood became. The reason we have so many sicknesses and diseases and issues is because blood got defiled. Now, the spotless blood, after about 4,000 years, was once again mixed with humanity. Now, if it had followed the rules of heredity that we learned through science, we still would have one issue. There was half of Mary's heredity mixed with half of God's heredity if we followed the rules of science. But Jesus is said to be the spotless lamb. You will notice that Mary isn't listed in either Luke or Matthew's bloodline, only to mention that she was of Joseph. Okay, he had to be born of a Jewish mother in order to be Jewish, but something was different here. Jesus was born of a different blood. It was not a mixture of Mary and Joseph's blood. It wasn't even a mixture of Mary and God. You've got to get that. I know some like to teach that Mary had some kind of divinity, but it was not a mixture of Mary and God. The Bible says this in Luke 1:35, and the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing, how many knows what holy, that set apart sacred thing, which shall be born of thee, shall be called the Son of God. Matthew 1 and 20. But while Joseph thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not, take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her, notice, in her, is of the Holy Ghost. It was not conceived because of her. It was conceived by the Holy Ghost. In other words, the Holy Ghost put it in her. Why? Because it could not have humanity's blood. Because Jesus, as we learned last week, had to be the spotless lamb. That is why, okay, Jesus would be called the Son of God, not because he was the second person in a Trinity, but because he was born of a spotless blood in order to be salvation. Matter of fact, we're going to see how Jesus is recorded as the second Adam. He is recorded as the second one. Why? Because something happened in Adam, and Jesus had to be born a man with a blood that was pure. It was a foundation set thousands before the worlds were ever framed. Watch. Hebrews 7 and 1, for this Melchizedek, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a tenth part of all, first being by interpretation king of righteousness, and after that king of Salem, which is king of peace, without father, without mother, without descent, having neither beginning of days nor end of life, but made like unto the Son of God, abideth the priest continue. This type and shadow of Melchizedek, notice what it says. He didn't have father, he didn't have mother, he didn't have descent. Why? It was a type and shadow of Jesus, so that when Jesus come, he would be the spotless lamb, but then also be the priest that would be able to stand before continually. Okay. That is why Jesus looked at his family and said, who's my mother? Who's my brother? I don't have record on earth. 1 John 32:32. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him, and I knew him not, but he sent me to baptize with water. The same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same as he which baptized with the Holy Ghost. I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. John had to see. He had to know that this Jesus was the spotless lamb. John takes us to the spiritual principle then when he says this in John 1 verse 10. And he was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, watch, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Notice this. Jesus was God. So therefore, when we were born, he says, it's not going to be of blood. It's not going to be of will of flesh. It's not going to be the will of man, but it will be of God, so that I can be the Son of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. The purpose and the reason for the term Son of God was speaking back to the blood, the pure blood. And it took us back to the pure blood that was tried to be established in Adam, that was set in Adam, but we know what happened. And so God himself See, before anything ever happened, I touched this last week, before anything ever happened, I knew before I even created Adam, he wasn't going to make it. He was going to mess up. So I already had the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. I already had that set. I already had the DNA of the blood. I already had pure blood ready. I already had everything lined up. I already knew there was going to be a spotless sacrifice. If you go back and if you read, if you listen last week, this will all make sense right now. Maybe it will. Which were born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. I wasn't... When we are born again, we are not born of a physical blood. John makes a spiritual connection here. It says, when I'm born again, I got a different blood. It's a spiritual blood. It's a spotless blood. It's not a blood of man. It's a blood of God. A spiritual blood. Peter backs it up, and I'm closing with this. Here it goes. 1 Peter 1:23. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. We are born again, not of something corruptible, not of something that's going to die or fade away or go away. We are born of something that is incorruptible. Which means every single one of us in Jesus have access for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Neither Jew nor Greek, neither bond nor free, neither male nor female. For ye all are one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, now you have a heritage. You have a heredity. You have a heritage. Once I have an earthly heritage. It's going to be when I grow up or when my mother pass away, I'm going to owe bills. That's a heritage that's been left for me. I'm just kidding. We have an earthly heritage, but I'm here to tell you, our earthly heritage has nothing compared to the heavenly heritage that we find in Christ Jesus. If we're Christ, we have Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. Did I buzz through that or did I buzz through that? I hurried. I got done. Jesus, God, we thank you for your word. God, we thank you for your blood. Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you are willing. God, that you died for us, that you washed us and purged us and cleansed us. God, I pray, Lord, tonight, Lord, that somehow I put a greater appreciation in us of the blood that you shed at Calvary. Lord, the spotless blood. God, I pray, Lord, that we would recognize and that we don't have to be held captive by our past. We don't have to be held captive by things in our past and people in our past and even the sins of our family and our parents. We don't have to be ashamed of who we are because when we were born again, we took on a nature. We took on a heritage. We got a bloodline that is in us that was able to hide a multitude of sins. And so, Jesus, I pray, Lord, I'm so thankful to you. I'm so thankful to your word. Help us all, Lord, to be ministers of reconciliation. Lord, to lead others to you, to show them, Lord, that you shed your blood for them. Bless each one today. Be with us and keep us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Be dismissed in Jesus' name.